The Marching Roundtable is proud to be an official media partner of Drum Corps International and Music for All.
Wayne always talked about be your best. And my first job that I ever got was a situation where I came in the middle of the school year and had to kind of, you know, jump in and help kids out. And they were feeling deflated, and just reminding them those cultural things of being your best, being your best. And it's not about being the best, but pushing yourself a little bit every week, every month, every whatever, just getting a little bit stronger and a little bit more confident and a little bit more excited about what you're doing. Again, just like in music, a lot of the music that we make isn't marked on the page. A lot of the stuff we do as band directors isn't necessarily in our music history class or in this other class. It's these experiences and these things, like what Wayne talked about in class and in the book quite a bit, that has really made it pretty successful.
That's Matt Matthews, a band director who uses the information from The Dynamic Marching Band by Wayne Markworth in his teaching. On this podcast, Matt's joined by Zach Greenwalt and Wayne Markworth, the author of the book and online course, to talk about the advice and information in this resource that they use all the time in their teaching.
That was one of the hard lessons I learned very early in my career, because I came out of a very big university school of music, very highfalutin, and I thought I would go into music education and be a band director to make great music through the kids. And I learned, I think, pretty fast, probably not fast enough, but what I want to do is teach kids through the music rather than the other way around. So yeah, so that's something that I preach all the time, and I try to preach in the book as much as I could. And it's great to hear it from former students who are out there doing the band director thing now.
There's something that Wayne says in his class, and I think it's mentioned in the book, maybe in other words that I repeat all the time, where playing hard music bad isn't hard. And we should offer kids or students in college a course on band boosters. We should also offer a course to students that's just about grade 2 music.
You can find more information about the Dynamic Marching Band ebook and online course at marchingartseducation.com. Find the book and course in the drop-down menu titled Start Here. Thanks to the sponsor of this podcast, Fred J. Miller Incorporated, found at fjminc.com/roundtable. That's fjminc.com/roundtable. Advice from the Dynamic Marching Band on the Marching Roundtable.
This podcast is sponsored by FJM, Fred J. Miller Incorporated. FJM is the leader in marching arts uniform manufacturing and continues to lead the charge through groundbreaking design, superior service, and over 60 years of industry innovation. The Cesario collection of marching band uniforms is 100% machine washable, includes a limited lifetime warranty, and makes the fitting process a breeze with their adjust-a-cuff and adjust-a-hem technology. Now is the perfect time to create a new image for your program. Chat with a live FJM representative or schedule your complimentary consultation today at fjminc.com/roundtable. That's fjminc.com/roundtable. Fred J. Miller Incorporated, family owned and operated since 1960.
Hi, everybody. This is Tim Hinton, the Beast of the Marching Arts, and we have a great conversation today with three wonderful band directors, music educators, and we're talking about the Dynamic Marching Band and the ways that it has been helpful and the great advice, some of the great advice in it that we use all the time. The man himself, Wayne Markworth, is here. Wayne, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Hi, everybody.
Yeah, so glad that you're here. Zach Greenwald is here with us. Zach, how are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. And Matt Matthews is with us. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing well as all swell. Just enjoying sunny California right now.
All right. So tell us about where you are in Southern California and about yourself, a little bit about yourself and your teaching.
I am currently teaching in Ontario, California. That's probably about 2 hours east of LA in terms of traffic and everything. And this is year 7 here for me at this school. And really enjoying that and growing the program and working with things. And I'm actually currently at one of my middle school feeders doing all the fun recruiting things that are such an important part of this job. And Wayne talks about that a lot in the book and the class. And yeah.
So great. So you went to Wright State, and that's where you studied with Wayne and obviously learned about the book.
Yeah. So I've actually known Wayne for quite some time, even before I was at Wright State. Wayne's son and I marched the Glassman Drum and Bugle Corps together. And so got to meet him a little bit. And Wayne actually worked with the trumpets a few times because obviously he's a phenomenal teacher. And so got to know him through that. And then the local marching band scene, working with different bands that were in the local Mid-States circuit. And then obviously once we got to Wright State, you know, you get to take some of the classes with him. He's also the student teaching supervisor for me. And he's written music for our marching band at times and just been a great resource. And, you know, talking about the book, I still have the old school hard copy of the book in my bookshelf in my office and still utilize it quite a bit.
Very good. So, Zach, tell us about yourself as well.
My name is Zach Greenwalt. I am the director of bands for Dayton Christian Schools in Dayton, Ohio. We're actually about 1 mile from the FJM factory. That's pretty neat. I can just walk over and pick up our uniforms. It's a very small private school, about 1,000 students, pre-K through 12 in one building. And we are focusing on shifting the program in a greater focus of excellence. We started a competitive marching band last year after they had never been competitive. We formed a color guard last year that they didn't have before. And I met Wayne through Wright State. Actually, I met him before that. His son, Andrew, was the arranger for the high school that I went to, like many of the high schools in the Dayton area and across the country. So Wayne would come out and consult sometimes. And then when I got into college, I took his jazz band methods and marching band methods course. And I think I was the last class to use the paper physical copy of this. Is that right, Wayne? Did you stop using this after my class graduated?
I believe so.
This still has the great, is this 2005? I'm trying to remember my marching band nerd knowledge. What year was this that's on the cover?
Oh, the picture. Yeah. That's good. Well, no, 2004.
Ah, so close.
Wow. I graduated, but that is, I retired in 2005 in June.
I gotcha.
Very good. Well, thank you for being here, and congrats on all the success and the hard work you're doing there with your students where you're teaching. So, Wayne, exciting to have, you know, I mean, I know you connect all the time with students that you've taught and worked with, and then to see them have great success is always very rewarding.
It's fantastic to see them go on the field and do their thing and get better and better. And I'm always impressed. I'm always excited to see what they're doing. And just a couple of weeks ago, I saw Zach's concert band. They did a local concert band festival, and they just did a tremendous job. I was very, very impressed. And I also know what he started with 3 or 4 years ago. And tremendous improvement. So very impressive.
Well, thank you, Wayne.
Very cool. And Wayne, I know you're still very busy with WGI Wins this season as well. So thanks for all your hard work there.
Sure. Yeah. And you know, the other thing about doing this podcast is it's almost springtime and time when the young people in our profession, time to start thinking about marching band. I think that's a variation on an old romantic phrase, but time for us to start thinking about marching band. So time to take a look at the dynamic marching band.
Absolutely. So Zach, let's start with you. What's something in the book that you always reference, or is there one thing that you remember getting out of it that you found really helpful? Where would you like to start?
I think the most important thing that I brought going into DC, being a growing program and a changing program, was Wayne likes to stress, and it says this in the book too, that bare minimum you should have 3 staff members. You should have a percussion instructor, a color guard instructor, and the band director to instruct the winds and visual. And that's the approach that I took, and I really campaigned hard with administration to have supplementals created to hire those people. And that was really what made all the difference for us to be able to switch to being a competitive ensemble. Or really, even if you're not a competitive ensemble and you want to have an excellent program, I think all those pieces are really important, because the one band director can't do everything. And you're not giving your students the greatest service if you're trying to focus on all those different variants of things. So having a percussion person, the color guard person, knowing how to ask for the right things and knowing how to work with parents and communicate your expectations to the students are all things that I took away.
Wow, that's excellent. So you obviously did a lot of things right if you were able to make that happen. Was there a certain strategy that worked well in your situation as far as convincing them of the need?
It really came down to us having a similar understanding of what excellence would look like out of a band program. So it's sometimes, as helpful as the admin want to be, they just don't know what a healthy, successful program would look like. So me communicating those needs to them. And then also, I grew up in a competitive program. I've worked with competitive programs. I think my background and understanding of what that takes as well was important for me to communicate our needs to the administration. But I feel very, very lucky and blessed to have the supportive admin that we have. We also got a second band director hired full time at our school. This is the first year for that. So that's been really, really great for our program.
Wow. Amazing. Congrats. That's incredible. So you're doing a lot of things right.
That's fantastic. And it made me think about the very first assignment that I make the class do in week one of the class is you have to write a proposal to your administration, your superintendent, on why you should start a marching band from class. We just talk a little bit about how to write a simple and convincing proposal. So that's awesome to hear that that's working.
It is. So it's just been great for the kids, and they've been able to get a lot more enjoyment out of it. And it's, you know, with them, they didn't know what that kind of a program could look like. And then even this year, it was a great transformation for them in their work ethic, because we would have our rehearsals. Sometimes we weren't progressing, we weren't following the etiquette the way we wanted to. And then for the first time ever, we went to Lucas Oil Stadium, and we went to the Indianapolis Super Regional. And we got on, they had that experience on the field. And then afterwards, we got to watch a lot of the other groups that compete there regularly. And then from that point to the end of our season, it was a completely different ensemble. Just once they knew what that elevated kind of ensemble looks like, that's what they wanted to be. So it's also important just to take from your students what they want. Because as badly as I want us to be a competitive program, if the kids aren't into it, then it's not going to work. So I was really happy to see that positive response from them too.
Yeah, it's so transformative for them to see what's possible and get all excited about what other groups are doing and seeing what they can do. So that was a fantastic strategy. Taking them to see other really high caliber groups is awesome. Okay, so Matt, where would you start the conversation about how the book has been helpful to you, or one of your favorite bits about it?
There's a ton of useful stuff in there. Everything from your basic warm-up packet, there's examples of that in there. Because we all grew up, you know, working out of this book or working out of that book. When it comes to marching band, you kind of have to have an abbreviated version of, you know, you can't put the whole blue book out there for their entire warm-up packet. So Wayne was really good at preaching the fundamentals and making sure that the kids were starting on the right way. And that's helped us a lot, especially in like tone production and stuff. Just because I get kids, it's not a unified district or it's not a unified campus like his. I get kids from three or four different school districts, and it's, these guys are speaking Portuguese, these guys are speaking German, and we have to get everybody on the same page. So here we go, low B flat, warm up number one. And just going through that progress has really helped us kind of unify our sound. That's helped our musical chops quite a bit. Also makes the kids a little bit more confident at their sight reading. But I think the biggest thing for the book that I still use habitually quite a bit is the attitude sessions, as well as the leadership sessions, just because there's so much wisdom in those chapters that works every year in and out, whether it's different kids, more aggressive kids, nicer kids, everything in between. And those things are so important to the development of the culture of the band program. We can teach them as much as we want in terms of music, but having that culture established has been a big reason why we've been successful here at my school.
So you,
that's great to hear.
Yeah, it absolutely is. So the fact that you had those concepts and had read about them and studied them with Wayne made a big difference because you sort of knew how to start or where to go.
Yeah, and I think it was, you know, the template was there and we modified a little bit and we do some things, but ultimately having that there as a resource, it's just a friendly reminder that, you know, no matter how much music I'm teaching, I'm still teaching the kid. And a lot of that stuff is about growing the kid as a person and not just as a musician. And that really helps just, again, to get the kids to buy into what we're doing. You know, at this point, I assign a different attitude session to different student leaders, and they kind of run it because we've been doing them for so long. Sorry, they're backing up a truck to where I'm sitting. But ultimately, just having that culture-defining section in there, you know, because we all come from strong high school programs, drum and bugle corps, you name it. But when it's you who has to, you know, become the wizard and make the things happen behind the scenes, it really helps to have that reference there. Just to kind of say like, okay, that's why we do this. That's why we do that. And it makes it, you know, like you were saying earlier with the sample of you need this to run a band program. It makes it a lot easier to explain why we're doing certain things culturally, when it's out of, you know, what we call the marching band Bible. So.
Yeah, that makes great sense. Wayne,
I hope Matt doesn't get run over.
I hope he doesn't get run over by a truck backing up. Listen, everybody, he had to step outside the school to get Wi-Fi to be able to do this. So, Matt, I so appreciate all your efforts. He's over there recruiting in the middle school. Listen, we got like thumbs up on that. So, Wayne, this is the second time in a week that somebody has said to me, I have to always remind myself that I'm really teaching the kids. I'm not necessarily just teaching music, right? Like you're teaching students to be great citizens and good performers. And like, it's way past just the notes on the page.
Yeah, for sure. And that was one of the hard lessons I learned very early in my career, because I came out of a very big university school of music, very highfalutin. And I thought I would go into music education and be a band director to make great music through the kids. And I learned, I think, pretty fast, probably not fast enough, but what I want to do is teach kids through the music rather than the other way around. So that's something that I preach all the time, and I try to preach in the book as much as I could. And it's great to hear it from former students who are out there doing the band director thing now.
Absolutely. Zach, you're nodding. Do you want to weigh in on that?
It's so crazy to go from the college experience of thinking, okay, well, I can't wait to go out there and be the best band director and think that I'm going to go and solve all the problems and make the best band competitively. And then you get into the classroom and you realize that students have so much other things going on in their day that have nothing to do with band. So it's much more of, okay, how can I help them? How can I make band be a place where they want to be? And it's those things where it's like, you have the kids that the band needs, and then you have kids that just need band. So how can I make this a service for everybody that's there?
Yeah.
I definitely chime in that is so, so, so true.
Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of reasons that kids are in band, and I love, Zach, that you just described it that way. That was really, really powerful.
Something that I think that, you know, a lot of it gets covered in the class with Wayne, and I think we'd all agree that this word gets tossed around a lot, but we are truly blessed to get to take that class with Wayne, because we learn stuff, at least in my opinion, based on my experiences doing this for a while, that some people don't end up learning in their college experience. They don't learn it until their first year teaching. And I felt like we were really kind of given the real deal of what this was going to be when we graduated. And, you know, the book talks about it quite a bit too, just handling, I don't know if we want to call it the politics, but the dynamics of the different relationships we have to handle on campus between the athletic director, the parents, the administration, the secretary, the head custodian. And it takes a village to have a successful band program. And I think that Wayne really set us up well for that, because you can burn the wrong bridge and be up a creek without a paddle very quickly, without having those excellent support people in mind. And Wayne really, you know, preached that in the book and as well as the class. And it's definitely one of the reasons I feel like I've been successful is understanding how important those roles are.
Yeah, like understanding that it's a village and that like the dynamics of how you fit into the school and how you treat the others in the school and how you involve the others in the school. Wayne, this is like critical stuff. And I think Matt's right. I don't think that a lot of people come out of school with that information or understanding that basic concept.
Right. I certainly did not. And that's why I put that in the book and the whole chapter on band boosters. I'm not sure that a lot of college
Chapter 13.
Graduates. Chapter 13. he remembers. I'm not sure a lot of college graduates going out to be band director have the whole band director, band booster thing approached. And it can be a nightmare or it can be a godsend. So, or a little bit of each sometimes.
Yeah, actually, I think there should be an entire year for band director candidates of not only instruction about band boosters, but perhaps a lot of therapy to help prepare them for that. But anyway, all right, Zach, what else do you want to mention about the book or Wayne's information that you find helpful?
There's something that Wayne says in his class, and I think it's mentioned in the book, maybe in other words that I repeat all the time, where playing hard music bad isn't hard. And we should offer kids or students in college a course on band boosters. We should also offer a course to students that's just about grade two music. Because through the process of hiring an assistant band director, I've talked to a lot of people, and a question I always ask them is, you're going to the Music for All Concert Band Festival. This is what we normally play. What are three pieces that you could program for our group? And these are kids that are fresh out of college, and they say, well, you could do something like Armenian dances. And then that's when I'm like, all right, well, we need to learn some other rep. So that's what I've tried to tell my kids too, is like, listen, there are students that are up here that are principals of the Dayton Philharmonic Youth Orchestra. And then we have kids that are just now learning how to play their trombone. And we have to make sure that we have music that can cater to them and can make the entire ensemble sound great. You want them to be pushed a little bit by your selections, but whether it's marching band or concert band, we need to understand that playing hard music bad isn't hard.
I like it. Matt, do you want to weigh in on that?
Yeah, you know, and again, kind of going back to what I said with like the daily warm-up, you know, especially if you've got a lot of beginners. I get a lot of kids, like I said, from three or four different middle schools. And while the notes and rhythms might be there, the sound quality is something that we have to work on and kind of develop. And like he was saying, like, I have to assume that you've just learned how to put the trombone together. So we start on low B flat and really work on those long tones and that sound quality. And that approach has definitely been a reason why we've been successful, because even if we're not playing grade four, grade five music with all the notes and all the rhythms, quality of sounds, quality of sound. Balance and blend is balance and blend. And Wayne preaches that in the class, and he preaches it in the book. And, you know, Centerville Jazz Band was one of the, you know, best band programs in the country, because it was, you know, they were Buick up top, cushy, warm sounds, but then they could move. And it was a, you know, recipe for success. But yeah, just having that fundamental package preached in there was such a big deal for us, just growing as a program.
Yeah, Wayne, the fundamentals, like not the sexy fun part of teaching kids to play music, but man, if they can't make a decent sound, forget it, right? I'm not interested.
Yep, for sure. And our articulations and how to define them, and how about scales and arpeggios? Just too many band directors always want to jump into the music right away, jump into the show. They don't have time to do that warm up and work on the fundamentals, because we've got to get to the closer. It's a mess. But in the long run, it's the same time.
For my teaching induction here, there's like a 2-year program that we have to go through in California. It used to be called BITSA, now I think it's just called Teacher Induction. But you have to do a big, almost like, you know, you're doing your master's degree, a big project to get kind of passed through all that. And I actually used some of Wayne's research on articulation tried a couple different elements and experimented and recorded and all this stuff. And again, just nailing those fundamentals down is huge.
Yeah, we have a big poster up in our band room that has the quarter note with our articulation over it and what percentage it is. And that's something that we go over every single day. So we have a unified approach. And that's something that was in that book, too. And I didn't pick up on that until, you know, taking the class, because you're always taught, hey, staccato means separated, legato means connected. But it helps so many different kinds of thinkers to see it visually laid out, understanding the math of, okay, well, legato is 100%. I'm going to play it for the entire duration of the beat. So all that has really been a game changer for our students, and just lining up and making everything sound the same.
One of the things we were able to do with the book originally, even when there was a hard copy version, but Tim did such a wonderful job on making downloads available. And there are like 80, 85 various documents that can be downloaded that correlate with the various chapters and topics. Word documents, spreadsheets, attendance policies, and the whole purpose of that was to save the beginning band director hours and hours of creating things from scratch. And they were made Word documents so that, sure, go ahead and change, you know, this wording, that attendance policy, change the third one. But I'd like to ask the question on, was that a time saver for them, and did it help?
I'll go ahead and go first, and I'll say absolutely, because it not only saves me from doing work, but it's work that I know is beneficial to students that has already been tried and tested. So instead of teachers pay teachers, I guess we can call it teachers pay Wayne or something along those lines. But it's definitely been helpful for me too, because it reminds me of what the good things are. And so I make sure that I am keeping up on my education and how I could best service the students as well.
Yeah, just to kind of piggyback what he just said, I think I interviewed for my job at the end of May, and then they finalized and offered for the job mid-June, and a week later, I had to start band camp to get ready for a 4th of July parade. I did not have time to reinvent the wheel. I did not have time to get on Publisher or Sibelius or anything like that and make it happen. Luckily, I had everything from Wayne's book and the classroom, and really was able just to make that happen very quickly and efficiently. And I would have drowned that first year had I not had those supports in place.
Yeah, it's a great point. By the way, not only are all these resources a part of the ebook now that anybody can get, you know, as part of the Dynamic Marching Band, but Wayne, these guys keep talking about how they like what they learned from you in class. And I want to remind everybody that we created an online course version of the Dynamic Marching Band, like Marching Methods course. You spend a lot of time recording yourself sort of teaching the lessons, because there are so many people out there that don't have access to an actual Marching Methods course, or certainly not Wayne Markworth's Marching Method course. So I'd remind everybody that that is available at marchingartseducation.com if you wanted to sort of see Wayne teach the course and get that information in that way as well. It's a great supplement to the book itself. Wayne, thank you for doing all that extra work in creating that course.
Sure. That was fun when we did that. Was that a couple years ago, two or three years ago?
Yeah.
I would teach a class from 9 to 10 in the morning and get home, get things set up, and we would do the class again. I would teach Tim what I just did. So it worked out pretty well.
That's right. Yeah. We got to spend a lot of time together then. Yeah, that was good, though. It's a really, really helpful. Yep. Helpful online version of the book, really, and of the course that you might take. And sometimes you just need to be reminded, even if you've taken the course. But a lot of people out there don't even have them.
Yeah, I think, you know, kind of going back to what I said earlier, and this isn't trying to be whatever about anything, but I've heard many of my colleagues say, like, well, we never talked about that in college. And I kind of look at them like, you didn't. But I had Wayne Markworth.
Very cool.
Are there video versions of the jazz band portion of your course, as well as the marching band methods?
There is not, but...
Okay, good. I was worried that there was footage of you playing tenor saxophone out there, and I just wanted to save everybody from that.
Hey. Yeah, we did. Zach's referencing, we do a little short jazz pedagogy segment for about four and a half weeks at the end of my class now, because of the way we went to semesters and so forth. And back in your day, I made the whole class, we did a lot of hands-on playing, which when I first told them, oh, that'd be great. I'd really like to, because a lot of them had never played in a jazz group. And then I said, however, you're going to be playing your secondary instruments. And they were like, oh, no. So it quickly became like a middle school jazz band, which is was the goal of kinds of things we wanted to do, how to get started. But being a trumpet player, they often said, well, you're going to have to play your secondary instrument too. So I would play either tenor sax or barry sax. And I set new standards in saxophony, I'm sure.
It was truly something to witness. But that was also great because we've recently started an after-school jazz band program too. And there's a lot of kids in that group that are flute players or clarinet players or percussionists that wanted to switch to a big band instrument. They didn't want the expanded winds parts. They wanted to switch. So it's been helpful for me just recalling that part of the class to help them transition to a secondary instrument. So I got flute players on trombone, clarinet players on saxophone. And it's just, you know, the same separation of talent, but still we're trying to find a jazz program that would work for everybody. And it's been a lot of fun. The kids have really enjoyed it.
Good. Glad to hear that.
I love it. So Matt, is there anything else that you wanted to mention that you specifically like about the book or that you use in your daily teaching?
I mean, at this point, it's kind of buried in my subconscious, a lot of it, just because I've been utilizing it for so many years now. But again, kind of going back to that culture building thing, you know, Wayne always talked about be your best. And my first job that I ever got was a situation where I came in the middle of the school year and had to kind of, you know, jump in and help kids out. And they were feeling deflated and just reminding them those cultural things of being your best, being your best. And it's not about being the best, but pushing yourself a little bit every week, every month, every whatever, just getting a little bit stronger and a little bit more confident and a little bit more excited about what you're doing. Again, you know, just like in music, a lot of the music that we make isn't marked on the page. A lot of the stuff we do as band directors isn't necessarily in our music history class or in this other class. It's these experiences and these things like what Wayne talked about in class and in the book quite a bit that has really made it pretty successful. There's people who could play circles around me, but having those skills and having those lessons and that wisdom before I experienced it the hard way has been really beneficial.
Yeah, I love that. How about you, Zach? Is there anything else you wanted to mention that about the book or information in it that's been helpful?
I think being the director of a very small program, I really appreciate how a lot of the examples or the concepts are explained for bands of all sizes. So there's a lot of the chapters that talk about percussion or the wind section. He breaks down, you know, if this is the size of your band, you want to look for this kind of instrumentation. Or if this is the size, this is the percussion instruments that you want to use. So that's really helpful for me to know, even though I only have 20 winds, how can we achieve the best balance, the best sonority in that? And how can I approach that? Because no matter what size your band is, you can always find excellence there. And it doesn't matter if you have 5 kids or 20 kids or 100 kids, you know, you can still strive to be the best program that you could be. So I really appreciate that those small band considerations are included in there.
That's great to hear. And 2018, we switched to an ebook. And the nice thing about the ebook is you can update it. And every other summer or so, we do that. And I think 2 summers ago, we did some updates and added small band considerations, just 8-10 bullet points at the end of almost every chapter, because so many bands, the vast majority of bands are small bands in the country, I believe. We don't see them as much as the big bands or the medium-sized bands, but I do believe that's the truth.
No, I was going to make that point, Wayne. Like, most bands are small bands. You know, most bands do not have 250 kids out there, you know, and a staff of 50. You know, it's just, this is not the typical situation people are in. Matt, you want to weigh in on that?
Yeah, I was actually, like, trying to figure out how to flag everybody down again. you know, he just talked about like the, you know, comparing small bands and the instrumentation, and that stuff is definitely stuff we've utilized. The other big thing that Wayne talks about a lot in the book and in the class is just finding the right staff, but also adjusting, you know, understanding how to run the business essentially of running the band program in terms of hiring staff and working with the boosters to get those staff paid and getting copyright and getting commission and get everything kind of running. I mean, I think at this point, Wayne even starts encouraging us to get like a minor in business, because you are running a small company, whether you like it or not, you are running a small company. I think Darren Davis calls his presentation like you're the CEO of the band program, and it couldn't be any more true. And Wayne's book and class definitely helped mentally prepare us for that, because it's a different beast.
Yeah, totally agree with that.
We've hit a lot of things in the book. I just happen to have a copy right in front of me here, the old copy. Let me hit the chapter topics just for some people, because we haven't talked about all these topics. The foundations of the marching band, the wind section, the percussion section, the color guard. Now, there's something that most beginning band directors don't know anything about, and you hopefully will have somebody do it for you, but you have to know how to supervise it, what you're looking for. The visual program, rehearsal techniques, show planning, and we're at that time of the season right now, and it's time to start planning a show. Drill design, attitude, that was mentioned before, student leadership, recruiting, it's that time of the year too, band camp, band boosters, evaluating the marching band, and the band director, band life balance. Anybody want to talk about that?
Before we talk about that, I just really appreciate the parallel, because I'm a young and fairly inexperienced teacher. The more I teach, the more I realize how teaching music is very little of my job. So it's funny how teaching marching band is very little of the book. It's organization, working with people, hiring people. So it's really convenient, because it's kind of intimidating, but also a realization for me to realize that there are so much more that goes into this job. So it's really great to have these resources out there that are able to help. The life work balance has been something that I've been working on for myself too, because it's a lot of work running a band, whether you're competitive or show band, big band, small band. It's a lot of work. There's a lot of decisions to be made. There's long nights, sometimes weekends, but it's important to understand that you still need to be the best version of yourself for your students, and taking care of yourself is a big step. So I always remember that, Wayne, what did you say? You were able to stay at Centerville for so long because of what?
Three words. Bill's Donut Shop.
Yep. you gotta have a place, and Bill's Donuts might be able to be the fix for everybody, but unfortunately there's only one of them, and it's in Centerville, Ohio. So you need to figure out what your work-life balance is, and it does a lot about talking about that, because you can be much more than just a band director. Not that that's a bad thing, but you know, you have your own hobbies and your life outside of school and a family. So it's important to realize that you can do all of that, but you need to find the right balance for you.
I guess I'll hop in now. Totally agree with what he's talking about. I am considerably older than him. And I will tell you right now, you know, it's an obvious one, but you have to marry someone who understands what we do. You know, somebody with hopefully high school band experience, or maybe they were even a music major. My wife is actually a high school band director herself, and she's fantastic and runs a great program. And we literally set up our marching band schedule where she practices on these two nights and I practice on those two nights, and we try not to intersect. And I've got a competition that day. Can you avoid scheduling a competition that day? And, you know, she knows what it's like to, even though marching band gets done at 9, we don't get home till 10. She knows that. She understands that. I've had friends and colleagues who their spouse is calling them at 9:02. Where are you? And it's like, well, where do you think I am? But it's huge to have that balance. I'm glad. I think it was Tim mentioned the hobbies. During COVID, pretty much half the directors, if not more, in my district got into cycling. And that was a really fun way to kind of still hang out. We would talk shop, but also get some exercise in because we were all trapped at home. And it was nice to be outdoors and get involved with that. Now that we're back in the normal swing of things, probably not as cycling as much as we want to. But, you know, I think mentioned it earlier is just the longer I'm doing this, I'm not as young and energetic as I used to be. And taking that time to take care of myself has been huge in terms of making sure that I'm able to be there for the kids. Sometimes that includes taking like a mental health day, or if my son's school shut down, it's usually a blessing in disguise that he has that day off and I get to take the day off with him. And he enjoys the boat. He enjoys the donut shop trips. He still has his Bill's Donut Shop hat somewhere. I don't have a local donut shop, but I enjoy running around to Costco or In-N-Out around the corner. That's been kind of my sneak away between things. But yeah, so much importance in there.
Yeah, I love that you mentioned that, because listen, everybody, you have to have something outside of band, right? You just got to find it. Have something outside that you do, or a lot of things outside to do. I mean, it's so demanding. Our job is so time consuming and all consuming. So find that thing, at least one thing. Okay, so we're going to wrap this conversation up. I'm going to go around and ask each of you to say one final thing. If you want to reiterate one point that you felt like you made, or that you'd like to remind people, or anything you want to say in closing about Wayne or the book. Wayne, what would you like to say to everybody sort of as we're wrapping up this conversation? I think you have this wonderful resource. So many people have benefited from it. There's the ebook. There's the online course. You've impacted a lot of people. What would you like to say in closing?
Well, thank you for all the nice comments. It's been my pleasure. And after 36 years of high school band directing, 35 of them in one place, I made all the mistakes in the world. And I think my best trait was to learn from my mistakes and try something different. So I was able to just assemble all the materials and just very happy and eager to share it with everybody. Even after all those many years, when I retired, I said I had a blast. This is the best job in the world. At least it certainly was for me. It's hard, but the more you put into it, the more you get out of it. That's what I hope everybody gets that opportunity and the opportunity to say that at some point in time.
Yeah, I love that. Terrific. Matt, what would you like to say in closing?
There's so many things that we could talk about. And, you know, any student who's ever had Wayne, whether it's at Wright State or at Centerville, he's such a beloved figure in our world and for so many reasons. And, you know, when I first moved out here to the West Coast, I was, you know, no one out here went to Wright State, at least as far as teaching music. There's a few of us out here now, but I remember being at my first BUA regional with Fountain Valley when I was the assistant there, and you know, Dr. Tim was there, and hey, you were at Wright State with Wayne, and just instantly felt like I was at home. And you know, we talk about it in sports all the time, like the Bill Belichick coaching tree and these kind of things. I would be flabbergasted to see the Wayne Markworth coaching tree, the Wayne Markworth band director tree, whatever you want to call it, because it's just such a cool network to be a part of. And Wayne's just impacted so many of us in so many wonderful ways. And thank you for giving us those opportunities.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Zach, looks like you're going to get the final word. What would you like to say as we're closing?
I just really appreciate all the opportunities that have been given to me, you know, from growing up with a family that would pay for saxophone lessons and going to a high school with a fantastic band director that believed in me. Shout out to Jimmy Blankenship if you're listening. And then I got to go to a university with a world-renowned saxophone professor like Dr. Jago, and Wayne Markworth got to teach my marching band methods class. And I had the privilege of working with so many awesome programs in the area. And now I just really feel fortunate that I get to give those opportunities to my own students. So it's you know, it's weird to see the performing life go behind you and the education life come up, but it's been fantastic so far. So only 32 more years of this.
Well, that's awesome. So Matt and Zach, congrats on the great work you're doing. Thank you for working so hard for your students and for sharing some of the concepts and information that you found so helpful in the Dynamic Marching Band. Thank you for doing that today. And Wayne, thank you again for all your hard work on all these different parts of the Dynamic Marching Band that are out there now, the ebook and the online course and all the impact that it's had. So all you guys, thank you so much for talking with me.
Thanks, Tim. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
You can find more information about the Dynamic Marching Band ebook and online course at marchingartseducation.com. Find the book and online course in the drop-down menu titled Start Here. The online course is videos of Wayne teaching each topic, just as he does in his class at Wright State University. And the ebook is updated frequently with new links and downloads and updated information. Thanks again to the sponsor of this podcast, Fred J. Miller Incorporated, found at fjminc.com/roundtable. This is your host, Tim Hinton, the Beast of the Marching Arts. Find out more about me and the services I offer at beastofthemarchingarts.com. And check out our new paranormally themed bed and breakfast, the Phantom History House, at phantomhistoryhouse.com.
If you're a business that works with band directors, marching bands, color guards, or drum lines, you should sponsor podcasts at the Marching Roundtable. Our listeners are the exact audience you're trying to reach, and with thousands of podcast downloads each month, it's a great way to directly reach your target audience. For more information, click on the sponsorship opportunities link at marchingroundtable.com or email Tim at tim@marchingroundtable.com. You can grow your business and help support what we're doing here on the podcast.